But this is the Reality Check here on Revolution Radio. And today we're going to be talking about starting new things. Mm. But before we do that, of course, I want to come over to the captain of the chair. Glenn, how's it going this week?
I'm doing great, thank you. It's a bit warm, isn't it?
It is. It's incredibly warm, and it's apparently going to last for some time.
Yeah, this is, you know, everyone's been moaning that we didn't have the summer the same as last year, but, yep. You know, it's here now, so I'd appreciate if people stop moaning at me about the weather.
Yeah, I've got to give one little sort of exception to that. Mm. Sharon went back to school yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all summer, it's rained a number of days, and she's back at school, and it is red hot.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, no, I hadn't considered it from a teacher's perspective who just had multiple weeks off, and now the weather's better as they go back.
Yep.
But then considering it from my perspective, there isn't. Where's the multiple weeks off? Well, yeah, I just work through.
I tell you what, there is a conversation to be had there with a teacher at some point. Maybe we get one of them in and they can explain exactly
how hard it is,
why they need 6 weeks off in the summer.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, yeah. And no, to be fair, you know, and just before I get a load of hate mail from teachers out there, I couldn't do what you do. Like,
buddy,
fair play.
You've worked in education.
I have, yeah. You know? And I enjoyed it, yeah. But it's one of those, it takes it out of you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This is, I honestly think that when we went through the COVID and the restrictions, I remember humorously watching on numerous occasions this mum who was offloading to teachers on a night, say, please come back.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
do you do this?
Yeah.
I've been here 6 weeks. I cannot do it. I pray.
With
their own kids. Yeah. And it was the way she did it, it was just so humorous. It really did make me laugh. So,
yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, I've had a great week, actually. We had, I think I mentioned last week that there was a tournament at the weekend, disc golf tournament that was playing in Milton Keynes. And that was on Saturday, and that was just brilliant. The weather was good.
I've seen the video.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, for all of the Northampton listeners, I am trying to convince Glenn to bring in one of these organisations that does this, because it needs to be here in Northampton.
Yeah, yeah, we haven't really got much for it up here.
And it looked fantastic. The video looked like everybody was having fun.
Oh,
everybody was nice with everybody.
Really good family day, you know, for everyone.
And that's right, because there was a number of young people, older people.
Yeah, everyone, you know, yeah. And there were people that just came down to watch as well, to be fair.
So wow.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good time.
So when are we going to get somebody in to talk about bringing disc golf to Northampton?
Yeah, well, I can certainly bring in people that have maybe been playing disc golf longer than me if people want to hear about that.
Excellent.
And, yeah, that'd be all good.
And let's
see
if we can get something set up where, you know, people in Northampton can come and have a go at it on a Saturday morning.
Yeah,
or
happy day. Well, I'm happy to meet anyone in any of the parks in Northampton, show you how to throw a disc. It's really fun. It's really good. And it gets you out there, gets you healthy, keeps you, you know, keeps
I actually think that has got to be a definite then.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a definite. So, guys, if you're out there in Northampton and you want to have a go at this disc golf, you've been listening for nearly 2 years now to Glenn talking about it. And I've got to be honest with you, I saw the video and it looked great.
Mm.
So if you do would like to get involved with it, or you want to have a go at it, let us know and we can meet up with you on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning with a group of us.
And Nigel, I think you've had a bit of a change, a bit of a reality check this week that you want to share with the listeners.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's I think most of our listeners will know now that I work within cognitive change, and cognitive change is just generally how do we change the way that we think and feel. And this week, for a number of reasons, I actually stopped doing it on a formal basis about 2 years ago. I had a bit of a dip, and things occurred in life as they do. We have the curveball. And I decided, no, I can't actually do this at this moment. So I took a bit of a break, and this week is the first week of being back and doors fully open, back doing one-to-one sessions with people, doing group sessions. We're just about to start to deliver professional well-being within education and professional development. So it has been a real long time coming.
Yeah.
You know,
I know you've had, you know, your ups and downs. I mean, I think it's been a good experience for you, hasn't it, actually going through and learning new skill sets, and but it's been stressful as well, I suppose, at the time, because you're losing that, being so used to working on your own for such a long time and not having to, you know, answer to other people and things. It can be a bit of quite a big mindset shift to sort
absolutely
of, yeah,
a complete another game change. I've been doing this 40 years next year, And I think most of our listeners know as well, I'm severely dyslexic. I don't read and write very well. I certainly don't use computers very well. But yeah, last year I then decided that I needed to go and put my skills and my passion and my purpose into place. Mm. And I went to work with a DWP contract here locally, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right, I had to learn how to use a computer. I had to learn how to keep my mouth shut when I didn't agree with what was happening. So decided, yeah, the time is right.
Mm.
The lessons from it, and I think that's the most important. I think the lessons for it is that, and I don't want to pinch your phrase, but you used this phrase earlier on today, which is sometimes when you go into business or you go into work, if you're not careful, you can lose your identity.
Mm, yeah, yeah, definitely. Because you know, you're always aware in everything that you're doing, you're always aware that it's somebody else's company, it's their value, their vision, their brand. And I've experienced this in the past where, you know, you put a social media post out with some of your own kind of personality within it. And if that clashes with their vision in some way, that, oh, you know, I maybe would have phrased it slightly differently, or I wouldn't have said that. And each time that happens, a little bit, I find, just chips away from you.
Yep.
It's a little bit, you lose a little bit of yourself every time. And it's just trying to keep that from happening. So having that freedom again, I suppose, now to be who it is that you are.
Well, I officially started on Friday of last week. It was the 1st of September, and that's the sort of start date. But I had a little bit of a day off, if I'm being honest with you. It was Sharon's last day before she went back to school, so we had a bit of a day just sort of together. So this week was my first week.
Official week, sort of, yeah.
And it is so exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting. We've got the One Tribe social media platform that is growing rapidly, and we're getting people there sharing blogs and sort of sharing their good thoughts, etc., etc. And I'm excited. I've actually got me back, and I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, and I think, like, I'm sure others, like, you know, I noticed a change in you when you went through that kind of transition back into employment and kind of got reined in a little bit, perhaps. And I'm sure everyone else in your life did as well.
Absolutely.
So it's like seeing the old Nigel come back is going to be great.
It is good. It is good. And I think it goes with everybody else as well. You know, we can lose our identity with a variety of things.
Mm.
You know, I was talking to somebody today that's been in addiction for just under 40 years.
Wow.
Just as long as I've been doing this. And incredible to see the change that we can actually give each other. Today we're talking about starting new, and that's my experience today. Started again, the business is open, the reality check is out there for everybody to get involved with. But what I wanted to share again was some of those lessons that we all learn. Part of the reality check for me is to enable people to sort of just stop and have a thought. You know, when we get into our chaotic mindsets, and most of our listeners know I deal with my mental health on a daily basis. If I don't, that's when I have a problem. But ultimately, you know, it's when we get to that point of recognizing that I am not being who it is that I was intended to be.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the biggest lessons for me over the last couple of years, which is, well, who am I really? You know, I've been doing this for 40 years next year. You know, it's a long time to be in an industry. And, you know, throughout all that time, of course, I've had my ups, I've had my downs, I've had my issues, my curveballs and everything else that come along. I've had my successes, my happiness, etc., etc. But it is only really of recent years that I've really had to take my time out and walk away from lots of things to try and figure out, so who am I really? And I just don't think, Glenn, that, and maybe the same for you guys out there listening, is that how often can we answer that question authentically when somebody asks, so who are you really? You know, there is that reaction to things, and, you know, we'll come out with a whole load of whatever it is that we think that we are.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get people to stop reacting to life. And I'm trying to get people to respond to life.
Yeah, definitely. It's easy to say as well, because we were talking just before the break there about how, you could, when you're working for a company, you might feel like you have to behave in a certain way because of their ideas or their vision or their brand. The same thing happens, I think, when we interact with people or groups of people as well, in that we often, without realizing it sometimes, try and adapt and try and be, you know, you get a feel for who it is you're talking to and where they're coming from, and then you try and position yourself in a way that it's not going to be jarring and that you're, yeah. But every time you do that, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, everybody does that, I do that, you know, that's normal behavior because we want to be liked and we want to get on with people. But every time you do that, you're doing the same thing. You're moving away from who it is that you are, actually. I've read something that said there's as many versions of you out there as there are people you've interacted with. Because in their reality, you are, you know, you see yourself as what you know about yourself. But in mm-hmm. their reality, they only know the information that they've received, which is however many times you've met you, what you Absolutely. Said, what you did, how you made them feel, all of those things. But outside of that.
There was a time in my life, many, many, many years ago, is that I was exactly like that. I would always be listening to what somebody was saying or what they did. And I actually actively tried to fit in with their world. And it was always uncomfortable. Yeah. Always. I never felt right.
You get it in business as well. Like, I'm in sales and it's like, you'll go and see people that you don't necessarily agree with, maybe their views or their mindset or how they approach things. But, you know, if you sit there and call them out and have an argument with them, they're not going to buy from you. So you have to be realistic about it as well and be like, you know, what's my objective here? If your objective is to get a sale and earn some money, then telling them that you don't agree with them on this, that and the other and upsetting them in their own place of business isn't going to get you anywhere.
Yes, but I've also at the same time, I'm going to bring you into this. Because, yes, you are, in fact, a salesman in a lot of respects. But you do not fall into that category of a very stereotypical salesman.
No.
You turn up as you are.
Yeah.
You have a very straightforward approach to your clients that, you know, they come to you, they ask you the question, they give you the information, and you give them what it is that they require. Mm. It's straightforward. You know,
I think in a way, yeah, for me, it's been actually moving away from employment into self-employment allowed me to actually be myself more. Like, again, it comes back to what we were talking about, is that I am actually more likely now to be like, do you know what? I think maybe someone else would be a better person for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's, yeah.
But what is the point? What is the point about, you know, I'm going to come back to this, but I'm going to say it now. If you don't fit, don't wear it.
Yeah, I like that.
And we are talking about starting over, you know, irrespective of where you are, what you're doing, how old you are, what it is that you want to start again or start something new. It's about the excitement of actually being there. We've talked so many times about how do we get to the point of changing the way that we think and feel. And today is about, actually, I've changed the way that I think and feel about certain things, and I've moved back into delivering my business in a more proactive level, and it is exciting.
Do you know what? I was going to ask you, actually, having obviously done this and then kind of closed it down because you had to and then gone back into employment, coming out the other side, what is there anything specifically that you're going to do differently or try and, or that you would be like, I'm going to do this thing differently because I know, not necessarily it didn't work before, but just.
I think the biggest difference that I actually feel right now, which bizarrely, and most people don't get this. Most people look at me, they hear me on the radio, they see me speaking or they come and have a session.
Yeah.
And I think most people that I interact with think, oh, he's got this sussed out. You know, I've had many people say to me, you're never unhappy. You know, and it's right, I'm not.
Mm.
I refuse to be unhappy. But that is because I work in it. I said earlier on, I deal with my mental health every single day.
Yeah.
Just like you and just like everybody else. And I think that, you know, we've got the terminology of mental health. And the moment that we actually start to talk about mental health, it's one of those words that have got connotations that people just move away from straight away.
Mm.
Whereas, look, we've got a health. We've got a mental health. We've got a physical health. We've got a spiritual health. And it's about making sure that we are who it is that we are.
Yeah.
Now, we talked just a short while ago about, and I made the statement of, if it don't fit, don't wear it. So, for example, what size shoes do you wear normally, Glenn?
10.
So if I gave you and I found the most amazing pair of shoes, you love them, you know, and they looked amazing, but they were a size 8.
Mm.
Would you wear them?
No, I don't even think I'd be able to put them on. I did once because they were an amazing pair of shoes and they didn't have my size. I picked for a size 9.
Okay.
Regretted it massively, hurt my toes. The shoes fell apart quicker.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And, you know, if it don't fit, don't wear it. Mm. That's with your clothes. That's with your shoes. That's with your thoughts. That's with your feelings.
Yeah.
If it doesn't fit, don't wear it.
Mm.
And I know it sounds really simplistic, but we've got to be able to interact with that process of communication inside of our own heads, the way that we talk to ourselves.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize that out of the sort of 50 to 70,000 unique thought threads that we have every single day, there are a lot of those that are not going to be factual anymore. They're not going to be the truth anymore. We have to understand that, like, I'm coming up to 60 years old, and that certainly, 100% for me, the rules of the morning of my life are no longer valid in the afternoon of my life. Things are completely different. Over the last 2 years, one of the biggest things that I've learned and the biggest differences, to answer your question, is that I am quite happy to say to everybody, you now need to start to talk about yourself.
Mm.
Because that's the one big thing that I realized, and I've been doing this, say, for 40 years, and I have three people in my life that I go to in a variety of different things, and they coach me through whatever. But it was only this last 2 years I thought, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to allow life to unfold in front of me. I am going to live for here right now. The person in front of me is the most important person in my life at that moment.
Being present in that moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No point in looking back and, you know, with regret or with whatever. No point in projecting forward. We need to live for right
now. Yeah, I'm definitely... That's something I've definitely started to realise in the last few years, and I'm now aware of it. If I'm start thinking, oh, I wish I'd have done this, I wish I'd have done that, absolute waste of energy. And, absolutely, like, we're all getting... Your mind will naturally wander there, but it's just about recognising it, noticing it, stepping back and just saying, right, but that didn't happen, did it? So we are where we are. Let's be in this moment now.
Quite funny that you were saying earlier on about that old saying, is that there are a number of different versions of you, or as many as the people that you have met.
Mm.
We are different to everybody. You know, we do put the masks on. From the moment you're born, really, you know, you put the mask on, you become someone's son or daughter, and then you've got siblings and family, and then you go to school, you get more friends. And I have met a couple of people in my time, or a few people in my time, that turn around and say, no, I'm the same with everybody.
Mm.
And it's not the truth. It really isn't. We're not even the same with ourselves. To be able to get to that authentic position of actually you walking in those steps that actually this is just me, it's not easy. And one of the biggest reasons it's not easy is because there are so many people out there that find it very difficult to actually take you for what it is that you think and feel, particularly when you're up front with it.
I think another problem is there's a lot of messaging out there that very directly tells you how you should be or should behave, and there's a lot of, you know, and that's in advertising, it's in movies, it's on your social media, it's what people are posting on Instagram. We naturally lean towards comparing ourselves to others, and that again drives you away from being yourself. Like, it's something in the last few years I keep saying over and over again, is that I now, as much as possible, I only ever try to compete with myself. And I've talked about this on the radio before.
Yeah.
Like, when I play disc golf, it's kind of a solo game played with other people, golf. So it's, you know, you're playing your own score. It's not a competitive, it's not like football where you've got two teams one team wins and one team loses or you draw. It's like you'll have, say, four of you and you'll all get a score and you can say who won, but the shot that you take doesn't have any impact on the shot that somebody else takes. So in a way, you are playing like quite an individual game. I only ever try and beat my personal best from a previous game. I'm happy for other people when they have a great game and a great score, and I'll congratulate them. But I'm not trying to beat them. I'm trying to beat me, and that's an infinite game because that never ends.
Absolutely.
But if you're trying to compete with a world champion, when you get there, where do you? Unless you've got some very clear goals on your vision board, where are you going next?
Absolutely. And you know, disc golf and things like that are exactly the same as life. You know, we surround ourselves with people, with families and friends and partners and siblings. Mm. But the ultimate thing is, this is a solo ride.
Yeah.
Solo ride. You know, there is
nobody. You get one shot. It's a relatively short time, and we're here for the experience. Make it a good one.
And you've got to bear in mind that the moment that you're born, the record button gets pressed, and that's it. You can't unpress it. Everything has been recorded. Make sure what comes out of your mouth, make sure what you do in life is exactly attained to who it is that you really are.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to say thanks very much for today, and we'll catch you next week. Until then, see you soon.